Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the last week before Selection Sunday. So, of course, a lot of conference tournaments taking place. Day after day after day, we're seeing the bracket fill out with the automatic bids, culminating Sunday with not just the selection show, but also with our big show. We'll talk to players, coaches. We'll get your take. We'll have Jerry Palm here in studio, who is our CBS sports bracketologist. Generally, he gets 67 out of 68 teams right. In fact, 67 and a half is probably his average, and now and then might miss a seed. And so we'll talk to him, and we'll have brackets to fill out. We've got the After Hours Bracket Challenge to be renewed yet again in 2019. This will be the first time for Chris and Dave. By the way, it's required to fill out a bracket here, so I don't know if you guys are big bracket peeps. All right, they're both nodding at me. This is my mom, by the way, who sent me a text on Monday to ask me if I had registered for the family bracket. Okay, mom, I'll get right to that. Thank you. My mom, who couldn't tell you when Selection Sunday is. She probably doesn't even know what Selection Sunday is, actually. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to get right back to your comments on both Twitter and Facebook. In light of Russell Westbrook getting into a verbal altercation with fans, a fan specifically, one fan and his wife, who he singled out during Monday's game in Utah, he threatened to do harm to F up this man and his wife. And he claims that there was a phrase that was used that he felt was racist and disrespectful. And because of that, he felt justified in losing his cool. And so we're asking you just generally, not about Russell Westbrook, but generally, what is the line for fans? If you purchased a ticket, does that give you the right to heckle? And at what point does your heckling become vulgar, obscene, inappropriate, and grounds for ejection? Or is there no line? As long as you're not touching an athlete, throwing something at an athlete, should you be able to say whatever you want? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number, we'll get back to your calls here, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll let you know about the latest automatic bids to the NCAA tournament. And hello, NFL free agency. I call this time to tamper. I kind of like the hashtag, time to tamper. The Lions had a big day. The Redskins go for broke. The Broncos address more needs. DeSean Jackson goes back to where he came from. Oakland is not done, doesn't finish with Antonio Brown. Terrell Suggs leaves the team that I will forever identify him with and moves cross country. And of course, Nick Foles. Nick Foles is the big story. Quarterback carousel will stop for him in Jacksonville. Most guaranteed money ever given out by the Jaguars. And so we'll talk about NFL free agency and this time to tamper as well. Again, A-Law Radio or After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Alan is listening in Maryland. Alan, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, long time fan, first time call.
Hey, Alan, we can't hear you very well, so either you're muffled or your phone's in a bad spot. You want to try again?
Yeah. Long time fan, first time call.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Amy, you got it almost right. You covered almost all the bases except the main one. And that's the one that starts with a five-letter word, starts with an M and then with a Y, money. If that sounds like that, they go to the game hoping to hit the jackpot. Now, had he lost his cool and hit her, he got his little wife there and blah, 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 how does that look? That was a setup.
Meaning the fan set him up.
Yes, it was a setup, and he went for it.
Yep.
And he had he lost his cool completely and hit her, I mean, hit him, he had his little bias saying, blah, blah, it's silent and I was defending my wife, whatever. But that's the way it goes. You got clowns like that. They've been doing that. They did it to Bill Russell. They did it to Jackie Robinson. That's all in all.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you that he definitely got what he wanted, the fan, which was to try to get under Westbrook's skin. But Westbrook didn't hit anyone. He never left the court. He was on the corner by the bench. He was talking. He was saying menacing words, but he never did follow up on those threats. And so if the fan is within his right to say whatever he wants, as some of you are saying to me on social media, well, then isn't Westbrook within his right to say whatever he wants? I don't know. What's good for the goose? Is that good for the gander? Thank you, Alan. I appreciate your phone call in Maryland. Let's talk to Mo, who's in Detroit. Mo, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. So, okay, look, I put it this way. What's out of line for a fan, me, myself, as a fan, what's out of line? I feel like a heckle. I could talk about their play. I could trash talk them. I could even call them ugly. Okay, I feel that. But what's out of line is any word that I cannot use on your show right now, I shouldn't use it in the court, especially because there might be kids around, whatever. All right? If I'm threatening the player, that's out of line. And I feel, honestly, what the fans said. Now, Westbrook, the same should apply to him as well. You can't threaten a guy and his wife. If she did it, you can't do that. It's just, this is not his first altercation. He's done this before. You can't do that.
Okay, so you're saying he crossed the line. As for the fan, according to Russell Westbrook, he didn't actually say any words that I wouldn't use on my radio show. He, according to Russell Westbrook, Shane Kiesel, this Jazz fan, told him to get down on his knees like he used to, which for Westbrook, he decided was racist and certainly is disrespectful. Whether or not it was racist, I mean, to say that to a man is... To say it to a woman is gross. To say it to a man is very often considered treating him like... Well, you know. Anyway, so those words I can say on the air. So you're telling me because they were words that you can say on my radio show, it means that that fan was well within his rights?
It's never the word. It's the intent, okay? Now, if that fan said that you should get on your knees, that was homophobic. Not necessarily racist, but homophobic, just as bad, just as disrespectful. And yes, he should be gone. Because I think Russell is trying to put it there as it being racist because he doesn't want no. The players are too macho to say that something's homophobic, that it's wrong. It's stupid. But yeah, that's what went down there. If that fan said it like that, that fan said I don't know. I take what Russell Westbrook says with a grain of salt because he's reacted. He's reacted in an irrational way. This is not his first time. He shoved the fan. I've seen him like in videos.
Yeah,
of
no,
him.
I gotcha. But you know what? He hears it in every single arena, Mo. Like I get what you're saying. He hears it in every single arena, no doubt. So the fact that he reacted one time or two times, I mean, on a scope of how often he hears it, how often these players hear it. The fact that he's one of the most recognizable and aggressive players in the NBA generally means he opens himself up to that by the way he plays and because he's really good and because very often he torches the other team. So I understand what you're saying. He's an aggressive, bold, brash personality and he doesn't back down from anyone. That's how he is on the court. It's how he is off the court. He felt like he was protecting his family. I don't know what else the fans said. That's just what Russ said after the game set him off. There very well could have been other things that were said.
You're kind of letting him off the hook there, Abby.
I don't think there's any difference. Why is the fan allowed to say whatever it is that he said? And let's be honest, even if he didn't say the F word, even if he didn't say a racial slur, a homophobic slur, why is he allowed to say whatever he wants, but Russell Westbrook's not? Don't have a double standard. I mean, I get that you would like your athletes to have a thicker skin and never to respond. But if you're going to allow the athlete or if you're going to allow the fan to say whatever he wants, why can't the athlete respond?
The athlete can respond. If the athlete feels the need to respond, I mean, if he wants to fuel that fire, that's it. I mean, that's on him. But to actually threaten the man and his wife, it's, you're taking it too far. If the fan would have threatened Westbrook and his wife, if she would have been anywhere like in on the court side or whatever. Okay, then, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so if Russell Westbrook says back to the fan the same thing the fan said to Westbrook, that would be okay then?
That's fine, cool.
Okay,
but you can't threaten.
Okay, all right, so you're saying that's where it crossed the line. Okay, I understand
it. That's where it crossed the line. With Westbrook as well.
All right, thank you, Mo.
I love your show, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate that. Good to have you in Detroit. 855-212-4227. All right, so the threatening is then off the table for many of you. But it's okay if the fan says what he says because the insult is not one that features choice words. Can I tell you something, too? As you're writing to me and talking about there shouldn't be the use of any words that you wouldn't say on your radio show. There shouldn't be the use of any words that are obscene or vulgar. I was on a train once, a very crowded train, leaving Madison Square Garden after a Rangers-Penguins game. There was a 12-year-old boy with his dad who dropped the P word twice standing right next to me. 12-year-old boy. He was calling an athlete the P word. And I finally said to his dad, that really offends me. I'm not going to listen to it. Would you like me to leave? Or are you going to tell your son not to say that word in front of a woman? And he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You're right. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. He made his son apologize as well. So my whole point is that what you think is inappropriate may not be what another human being thinks is inappropriate. That dad would never have said a word to his son if I hadn't stepped in and said, hey, I'm standing right here. So it's hard to define inappropriate. It's hard to define disrespectful. It's hard to define vulgar and obscene in a way that everyone can agree with. And the fan, of course, is claiming that he didn't say anything that crossed the line and that it was Westbrook that crossed the line by threatening his wife, who never uncrossed her hands in her lap. Fans are always such perfect angels. I mean, Westbrook was definitely in the wrong, and I wouldn't be surprised if the NBA fined him. He's got a track record, but if he had not said, I'm going to F you up, if he had said, hey man, you get down on your knees like you used to, would that be okay? I guess, because you don't actually know what they're talking about, right? To one person, it's racist. To another person, it's homophobic. To another person, it's just about sitting down and icing your knees. So I guess if you're cryptic in your comments, well, then it's okay. All right, some of your tweets, A-Law Radio. Dylan says fans cross the line as soon as the insults become personal. Of course, no touching or throwing things at the athletes. I believe if you make personal attacks, it's at the venue's discretion to kick that person out. I appreciate this from Austin. This is a perspective I hadn't actually thought of. The part of the Westbrook issue that makes this difficult about what can be said is the fact of where the fan was sitting. I've heard way more awful things from the nosebleeds toward players and officials, but because they can't hear them, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's true. I've been up in the nosebleeds in the upper deck, and you hear all kinds of vulgar, obscene things, things that I would define as vulgar and obscene, but because the officials can't hear them, because the players can't hear them. However, I'm okay. Well, I'm not okay with that, but I understand why it's not nearly as pressing an issue, because the fans aren't in earshot of the players. It's the players that we're concerned about. At least it's the players that I'm concerned about. So yeah, if they can't, I mean, if you are sitting right now in your car or at work or wherever you're listening to the radio show and you're swearing at me and you're calling me all kinds of names, but I can't hear you, who cares? But if the player is affected by it, it becomes a different story. Lou says Westbrook needs to keep his composure in these situations. I know, easy to say, hard to do. The difference is that in a week, we will all still know who Russell Westbrook is. The fan will be irrelevant. The fan wins here. Often, that's how the fan views it, as a competition. Sean says on Twitter, pros got to be pros. Can't stand the heat? Don't play basketball in a kitchen. To me, that is a huge cop-out. Just because you're a fan doesn't mean you should be able to treat another human being like dirt, in my opinion. So you can continue to send your tweets. I appreciate that there's a wealth of opinions. And we'll also get to your Facebook comments as well. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Nathan pulls up at the elbow. A jumper is good. Swishing it through is Nathan Hoover. All his points, 10 in the second half. Wofford's within three. It's 55-52, 5 minutes to play here in Asheville. In and out to Cam. That leaves Hoover free for a three, and he switches it. 15 second half points for Nathan Hoover. Terriers have tied it up again at 55. Bounce pass to a wide open Aluma, the layup. Kevin Aluma, Wofford's up nine. That is it.
Perfection! 21-0 in the league. And America, you want a bracket buster? She's coming, and she's wearing old gold and black.
The Wofford Terriers are going dancing as Southern Conference champions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The sweet final call there from Jim Noble on the Learfield IMG College Network. Congratulations to the Wofford Terriers, who in fact do complete a perfect run through the Southern Conference. When you include the tournament and the championship, they won against the UNC Greensboro Spartans. They went 21-0, and Nathan Hoover, a big reason why, the junior guard scoring all 20 of his points in the second half. He was 5 of 6 from the field. He was 8 of 8 from the free throw stripe, and it was a sweet rally by Wofford to get into the big dance. Congratulations to the Terriers. Now, coming up on Tuesday night at 7 p. Eastern, that's 4 Pacific on CBS Sports Network, it's the Colonial Athletic Association Championship game. Two teams leaving it all on the line for a ticket to that big dance. It's bracket week on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. This is our de facto Twizzler Tuesday question. Russell Westbrook getting into a verbal altercation with Jazz fans during that Thunder win. Shane Kiesel is the fan who was the object of his ire. In fact, Kiesel and his wife were the ones who were specifically threatened by Westbrook. Westbrook says that Kiesel set him off by telling him to get on his knees like he used to. Just, that's trashy. It's garbage. Whether or not you think it's a racial slur like Westbrook did, whether or not you think it's homophobic like one of our callers did, whether or not you just think it's dirty and nasty, Westbrook decided he wasn't going to take it, that that was over the line disrespectful, and he's not backing down even now.
If I had to do it over again, I would say the same exact thing, because I truly will stand up for myself, for my family, for my kids, for my wife, for my mom, for my dad every single time. I expect anybody else to do the same.
So Russell Westbrook, excuse me, not backing down. Maybe he'll feel differently. Maybe the NBA will feel differently and will fine him. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Not only was his language inappropriate, and generally players do receive technical fouls for dropping F-bombs when they're directed at a person. So in the course of play, if they miss a shot, if something happens, hard foul, and they just happen to yell the F-word, they don't get teed up for it. But when you direct the F-word at another player, that's considered taunting. When you speak to an official that way, that will get you teed up immediately. And I suspect that maybe the officials didn't know what was happening there or what he was saying to the fans in the stand. Now, Raymond Felton, one of his teammates, confirms Westbrook's version of the story, though the fan obviously does not. We'll let you hear from Shane Kiesel as we head through the rest of the show. But he essentially calls him a fool and says that he and Westbrook were having fun going back and forth. And then Russ just all of a sudden went after his wife. Oh, my gosh. He just lost his temper for no reason whatsoever. That angelic, idyllic fan, just, you know, in Salt Lake City, they're just Wonderful. Now, this happens everywhere. So we're talking about the Jazz and this particular game, and they do not like Russell Westbrook. But come on, let's be honest. Almost every single arena, every single stadium has a story in recent memory of fans throwing something onto the court, throwing something onto the field, using a racial slur, using a homophobic slur. It's not unique to any city out there. And every single time I talk about one of these incidents, you guys yell at me, oh, it's so, you're giving our city a bad name. No, actually, the fan was giving your city a bad name. But of course, there are people in every arena who will cross lines. We did find the NBA fan code of conduct. Chris printed it out for me, so we'll share some of that with you. But essentially, it's both players as well as the fans. And it's also specific to the way that fans are treated in the arena by the team and by the arena officials. So it's not a one-sided code of conduct. So I'll share that with you after the update. Jeremy is listening in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm fine.
Good. Love the show. Makes Night Shift that much more bearable.
Thank you.
Okay, so the point I was wanting to make, the hecklers, they remind me of the guys, the kids in school who would put their finger an inch from your face and say, I'm not touching you.
Yes.
They're agitators.
Right.
Now, and I get that. It's not against the law to agitate somebody. But what they're, I guess they're getting but not getting is, the guys that they're agitating, these are professional athletes. Their whole job is competition. They're running on emotions. And just like anybody else, they're people. They're going to have bad days and they could lose it. But at the same time, you know, if you're jawing with one of them, yeah, they can be the target of them blowing off some steam. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, in this case, I think Westbrook kind of crossed the line. I mean, yeah, the guy told him get on his knees or whatever that means. But, you know, Russell Westbrook turned around and threatened the guy and threatened his wife. And I'm all about one-upping someone, but, yeah, you can't do that as a professional.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you for the most part. I think that the players, whether it's because of necessity, whether it's just practicality, whether it's just the fact that by virtue of being so good at their craft, they become household names. They need to be professionals. So people say things to me on social media that I would never dream of saying back, not only because I don't use that kind of language, but because CBS holds me to a higher standard and to whom much is given, much is required. So Westbrook, just even if it's for no other reason than he does himself good if he ignores it. I wish that he had, because as one of our tweeters pointed out, if Westbrook doesn't respond, we're not talking about this idiot fan's comments. We're not even talking about the Utah. We're probably not talking much about the Utah-Oklahoma City game if not for what Russell Westbrook did in response. And so by responding to him and having it go viral, you're giving that fan his platform. And whenever I'm coaching young people who want to be broadcasters about social media, that's what I say. Remember that the person who has 8 followers is getting absolutely no attention for his actions until you respond. And that's exactly what happened with Westbrook. So I agree with you. He's also a human being, and it's hard when people are coming at you all the time.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you resolve the issue? How do you keep this from happening again?
Well, the NBA is likely going to step in. I wouldn't be surprised if the NBA fined Westbrook. I think a suspension might be too harsh, but he definitely does have a track record of engaging with fans. And the fact that he is caught on camera saying that I'm going to F you up and I'm not playing and and the fact that he's actually threatening a fan, whether or not the fan actually felt like he was in danger is a completely different story. But I don't think the NBA is going to let him get away with that, even if the officials there in Salt Lake allowed it to slide. The NBA may do an investigation where they start talking to fans who were in that section. They know who's who the ticket holders are, and they may find out whether or not the fan said what he said and decide they're not going to allow him to return.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, real quick before you let me go, I really do love the show. I love your attitude. It's great. You have an infectious laugh. You have a great evening, okay?
Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate your call. Glad to keep you company in Fort Worth. 855-212-4227. The NBA fan code of conduct is interesting. Shane Kiesel says it was the first time his wife ever went to a game. Well, good thing he treated her to the full fan experience. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here in Utah, every time I come here, it's a lot of disrespectful things I said, and for me, I'm just not going to continue to take disrespect from my family. I just think that there's got to be something done. There's got to be some consequences for those type of people that come to the game just to say and do whatever they want to say.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Definitely isn't an issue on which we all agree. The variety of opinions you're sharing on both Twitter and Facebook, as well as on the phones, underscore that. But how does the NBA define the code of conduct and what it's expected of fans, as well as players in these arenas or stadiums where they play their games on a nightly basis? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So you're finding us on Facebook. Thank you so much, especially those top fans. And on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If your Twitter handle doesn't include a name, well, then I'm not going to use your at handle, because some of them I wouldn't say anyway. But if you want me to use your name and where you're from, then you might want to include that in your tweet. If not, then I'll just read the tweet. We won't worry about it. But if you would like your 30 seconds of fame, it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I just scared Dave with the way that I yelled that. Apparently, he was not expecting me to have a vocal outburst. Actually, Chris and Dave, since you guys are men and you're different ages than me, I'm interested in your reaction to this, what you think is okay, what you think is not. So let me just read the fan code of conduct, and then we'll get to you guys. These are just some snippets that apply to how fans and players have to act. Players will respect and appreciate each and every fan. Check. Players, that part I'd never heard before. Players will respect and appreciate each and every fan. So the NBA is saying this is a two-way street. Guests will enjoy the basketball experience free from disruptive behavior, including foul or abusive language or obscene gestures. Guests, I love this one. This is my favorite. Will consume alcoholic beverages in a, reprehensible, in a responsible manner. That's what the NBA code of conduct says. Intervention with an impaired, intoxicated, or underage guest will be handled in a prompt and safe manner. In other words, we won't kick you out. Like, literally kick you out. Guests will not engage in fighting, throwing objects, or attempting to enter the court, and those who engage in any of these actions will immediately be ejected. Did I say ejected? Ejected, sorry. I don't know why I said that. Ejected from the game. And then guests will comply with requests from arena staff regarding operations and emergency response procedures. So it's vague on purpose, because they reserve the right to tailor it to your specific situation. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Top of the hour, we are going to shift to NFL. NFL! Time to tamper. Free agency is nearly upon us, but we'll work in these calls. I will take more of them. We still have another half of the show to go, but I do want to hit some of the top NFL storylines before we get back to Westbrook versus Shane Kiesel. My money's on Westbrook, but it didn't actually get that far. DJ is in Fairfax, Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. I love the show. Much respect to you.
Thank you.
Okay. first and foremost, I want to say this. Fans are not allowed to cross lines when it comes to racial things or throwing things, you know, things of that nature. But here's the raw truth of what those comments, and while Russell Westbrook, you know, reacted the way he did. I don't know if you know this, but you may want to keep this for education. Now, when slaves were brought here, the enslaved males were actually forced to perform these homo acts on their slave owners. And if they didn't perform these acts on each other or their slave owners, they were castrated. Okay.
Sir, you have got to turn down your radio because I'm hearing me while I'm hearing you, and we're on a 30-second delay.
No problem. So these enslaved males were actually castrated.
Yeah, no. They did not. I know. You said that. Okay, keep going.
Okay. So that's the raw truth of how deep these comments touched Westbrook.
So in your opinion, that phrase was referring to something that slaves would have to do, and so it was very much racist.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
It was an overreaction from him. You know, a lot of people may look at this as a double-edged sword with Westbrook getting the delivering the worst of the blow.
Okay.
But I beg to differ.
All right. In your opinion, then, was he justified in reacting the way that he did?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If people know what the fan was referring to, they would agree how Westbrook reacted.
You know, I would agree in most cases, yes, that would be considered extremely offensive. He obviously took offense to it. My issue, though, is are you leaving that up to then arena officials to understand the context, if that's what was said, and to pull a fan or eject a fan who says something like that? And again, I'll use some of the examples that have gotten people into trouble recently. The cotton picking comment from the former Oklahoma City announcer, the lynch mob reference with Tiger Woods at a golf tournament not that long ago. Are you comfortable then with leaving arena officials to determine which of those are offensive and because of that, which fans should be removed?
Yes, I think refs should educate themselves. In that moment, they may not know this. Some may not know.
Okay.
However, if they do know, they should definitely be reprimanded, the fan I'm speaking on,
mm-hmm.
and they shouldn't be allowed back in that venue at all.
Yeah, I would agree if it's something that they can pinpoint. Definitely there are cell phone cameras around. There more than likely are fans who are willing to tattle, so to speak. So it wouldn't bother me at all if that fan ends up getting singled out, cops to it. To me, that crosses a line as well. Here's something else that I think is interesting, and we've seen this in golf tournaments before, when, and I know it's a different type of venue, but when Rory McIlroy or a Jordan Spieth feel like they're being heckled by a fan who has crossed the line and has made it personal, they can actually go to the PGA officials, the tournament officials, and say, I want that fan removed. And in most cases, there are no questions asked. That fan is, in fact, removed and is asked to leave the premises. So it's, again, a little different in golf because they're right on top of you. But in this kind of situation, I wouldn't be opposed to the players saying to the, and it's not really the NBA officials, it would be an arena official, saying to someone on his staff, you've got to get that fan out of here because what he said has crossed the line. I mean, Westbrook chose to respond himself, but I don't think that should be beyond the scope of what these players are allowed to do to ask for a fan to be removed.
Right. Right.
All right, sir.
And you know, the NBA and other sports leagues should implement those type of rules and regulations.
All right,
going
sir.
Forward, you know.
I do appreciate your phone call. Thank you. I'm sorry. Just hearing myself in the background is disconcerting. But thank you so much for your call. Cole is listening in Atlanta. Cole, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call. And also, thanks for reading my tweet earlier. That was awesome.
Boom.
Yes, I'm the one. Anyways.
Cole, you're not alone in saying that. I read your tweet, but there are plenty of other people who feel the same way.
Well, me personally, I think Westbrook is just being a great big crybaby, and he's blowing this thing out of proportion. I didn't watch the game. I'm at work right now. I drive for a living, so I think they're both at fault, and I don't think there's any way for them to prove that anything was said.
I disagree with that, Cole. There are going to be fans around this guy who are more than willing to tell arena officials if they investigate, the Utah Jazz investigate. There will be people around that are more than willing to tattle and to say, I heard it.
Well, if that's the case, then that fan should be, barred from entering, NBA, any NBA event, and should be blacklisted. But, Westbrook shouldn't have even interacted with the fan. The quickest way to de-escalate something is to just ignore it. He's in the public eye, and therefore, anyone, it don't matter if you're an athlete, a musician, a politician, it doesn't matter. If you're in the public eye, you are subjected to these types of things all the time. And you've just got to learn to ignore them. There comes a time to where, yeah, something is going to bother you and possibly offend you. But come on, man, grow thicker skin.
So it's up to the athlete then to respond the way that most human beings would not.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I think that Westbrook will get a fine if it were up to me. And I heard him saying that he was going to beat the crap out of a fan. I would fine him, and I would suspend him for 3 games.
Well, he's likely not to get suspended. There's no way the NBA does that, especially if they can prove that this fan was saying things that were highly inappropriate. I do appreciate that, Cole, because I think, again, a lot of people feel the same way, that because you're an athlete, you represent the NBA, you should be able to take it, so to speak, that this is what you have coming. I have to let you go because we're at the top of the hour, but thanks for calling from Atlanta, and thank you so much for your tweets. Real quick, Dave and Chris, you've got about 30 seconds. So go ahead. I know that you're very concise with your comments.
Well, I mean, I've been to many sporting events before. I mean, I have the right to boo somebody, but I would never be disrespectful. And that obviously is open for interpretation. So it is very, very hard. But as long as you're not using vulgar language and you're not threatening anyone in any way or being abusive physically or verbally, then I think it's okay.
Mm. Booing, yeah. Booing's a completely different thing. But
I will quote Justice Stewart. I may not know the definition, but I know it when I see it.
And what about when you hear it?
Exactly. When the fans go over the line, you know it when you hear it.
I'm not a big fan of the personal attacks. Well, criticize what they do on the court. Criticize what they do on the field. Criticize how poorly they're playing or the fact that you don't like them because they're an opponent. But don't take it personally. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.